I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. So come on the program. Dale Jackson, WVNN, will join us. That's in about an hour or so. April Marie Fogel, we're going to move her around. She's going to join us at 11, and then we'll wrap it up with our returning champion, who's making a rare Monday appearance, State Senator Chris Elliott from over across the bay. We're going to talk about the prison bill that passed on Friday and get him to weigh in on that. Let us know what you're thinking. But anyway, I'm very pleased to be joined by our next guest here. You may remember him from his first time on the Mobile City Council, but he's on the ballot tomorrow, District 2. Those of you that are voting in that, he's in a runoff with the late Vilvon Manzi, but still on the ballot nonetheless. And I want to get him in here and give him some time. Got to talk about some things. Mobile City Council District 2 candidate William Carroll with us. William, how are you this morning?
I'm great. And good morning to you, and good morning to all the listeners out there in Mobile and all everywhere else that we're listening this morning. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and this is a real quick segment, but just real quick, you're running for a second time. I guess you're glutton for punishment or whatever, but real quick, your decision to run again, what led you to that?
Well, you know, there's still a lot of things that we can do in our district to make it better, and it's some things that I do well, and there were some things that my late opponent also did well, you know, that now since we've moved on and transitioned to another part of this, I think that there are things that he's done that we still need to continue to do too. But I'm running to hopefully be a servant to the citizens of Mobile, a servant to the district, and to make Mobile a better place to live.
Now, I came out to one of your town halls there, I think Dolphin Way, a few months ago. And a very interesting story how the only time you left Mobile was to go off to college. And he came back, and you made this point that we really got to get people to want to stay here, maybe not go to other places. You want to avoid the brain drain, and that Mobile has a lot to offer and a lot going for it.
Yes, Mobile does have a lot going for it. Just in so many things that we can enhance from Mobile to make Mobile an even better place. I mean, we have, and most people don't even realize anymore that, and nobody's talked about it here in the campaign much, but our port is probably one of the greatest assets that we have, if not the biggest economic driver we have in the city. We're talking about building a $4.2 billion bridge across the Bayway. Why don't we find the money to lower the tunnel going under the river and be able to get larger ships up into the dock and then go take them up what the channel was made for going up to up in the north and use those areas where we can get more into our city. If people don't know, our port has increased probably 5% every year over the last 5 years. It's grown exponentially. What people don't also realize is that, or living in our city, is that our port is only 30 minutes from open sea as opposed to New Orleans. So we should be the largest port on the coast. Why not find a way to do that somewhere in the future, you know? Those are the things that keep our kids here. They provide additional economics for things and different types of jobs. So let's do it. I'm all for it.
All right, we're going to get a break in here. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
While guys my age are raising kids, I'm raising hell just like I did.
From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between, an insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Porter Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line if you'd like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. We do appreciate the feedback. Covered in about 30 minutes, for whatever reason, from WVNN up in Huntsville. My former radio colleague, but my colleague at Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson, will be with us. Make sure you stay tuned for that. April Marie Fogel of Alabama Today at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Then we'll wrap it up with our returning champion state senator, Chris Elliott from the Eastern Shore. He'll talk to us. We'll talk about the prison bill that just passed in the Alabama legislature and the efforts to reform the criminal justice system, but as they pertain to that the shooting up in Sheffield, up in the Shoals area on Friday night. Really a sad story there. Anyway, we're still joined by Mobile City Councilman, a former city councilman, but District 2 candidate now in this municipal election cycle, William Carroll. William, thanks for sticking around. We do appreciate it. Let's get into some of the, I guess, the hot buttons. First up, the annexation. Where are you on annexation? That seems to be something that whenever you talk about these municipal elections, that's at the top of the list of trying to figure out where folks are on it. Well, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, I've been asked that question so many times since these forums have started. I answered it openly, you know, on the WKRG segment. And most people, if you remember my second term in office under the Jones administration, there was, I think, a couple of annexation attempts. And everyone should know that I supported those annexation attempts wholeheartedly. I even knocked on doors out in those areas to get people to vote to come into the city of Mobile. So I think that growth and population increase for the city of Mobile is very important. But before I can vote yay or nay on anything, I've got to know all the details. I've got to know what it does to District 2. I have to know whether or not it's economically sustainable. And then now with the census, we've got to doggone figure out the new lines, you know, where our population is. There's so many things now that have to be done before an annexation attempt can even be considered. And I believe, or I would hope, that even the administration in the city now knows that. I think their magic number was 200,000 people,
right.
But with the census count, there's only 184,000 people in the city. And if we take in those numbers that they were talking about, then we're still less than what it takes to even do what they were trying to do. So I think that there's a lot that has to be done before any type of annexation proposal, but can be anywhere. I can say this, though. The city of Mobile is going to grow. We're going to grow. We have to. At some point, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to grow and what's the best way. We can grow from within and without at the same time. But we must, again, we must be able to protect and make sure that those areas of District 2 are taken care of, and our stability in District 2 and our communities in District 2 and our infrastructure in District 2 all need to be assured. And we need to be assured that we continue to pay for those things before we take on any other opportunities that we have to provide additional resources for.
I mean, isn't that the question? Like, how the people that are here in Mobile right now that are already living here, been paying taxes here, been here a long time, how is annexation going to better our lives? And the answer I always get is this. It's like, well, we get the population up, and that opens us up for more federal funding or whatever. But the thing that I always wonder, is there a dilution of services? If you pick up more people, does that take away – you know, police officers, fire, public safety, first responders from what we have now, because they have all of a sudden they have new territory to cover?
Well, you know, I saw a report going back several years. I can't remember if it was 2018 or not, but I want to say it was 2018. In 2018, I think Mobile had maybe 16 or 18 police officers for every 10,000 people or whatever it is. In other cities of our size, they have 24 to 30. So already Mobile has less police officers for the number of people that we have. So when we annex, then we're going to need additional police officers, additional fire service, and all these other things. So that's what I mean about we need to make sure we have the adequate infrastructure, and I mean people infrastructure and administrative infrastructure, to support annexation wholeheartedly. So, yes, do we have to have those things in place? Yes, so we're going to need it, as you're stating, you know. And and the other thing is garbage and trash and all of those services that
right.
we provide that will be added to those areas that will be ongoing. It'll be perpetual. They won't stop. So even when those resources and funding stop coming in from SOAR grants and other things, we still have to have our coffers correct to be able to continue to pay for those areas.
And it's all just a matter of making sure you can do that before we bring in new people to the city of Mobile.
That's right. Let me give you an example. Under the Sam Jones administration, annexation, I think, bought in $20 million, if I remember right. The attempt that I'm seeing right now under the Stimson administration is bringing in $2.2 million. So, you know, the increase in revenue is somewhat different, but I think the number of people that came in also is also somewhat different. And the areas where I believe were also larger under the Jones administration. I can't remember everything right now because it's been a few years ago. But the revenue increase was totally different than what it is right now.
Now, and then I guess we'll have to wait and see where that goes. But that seems to be, for whatever reason, the focus of a lot of discussions during this cycle. But tell me, I mean, you're out on the campaign trail, and I'm sure you're knocking on doors, talking to people, going to events. Does that come up as much?
I get a lot of questions on annexation out there. You know, there are a lot of people that are concerned about the growth of the city, and a lot of people concerned that we may get landlocked. You know, I never want to see Mobile get landlocked. You know, I don't want to see that. At some point, we're going to have to do an annexation, you know, whether it be 2 years from now, 4 years from now, you know, 6 months from now. At some point, we're going to have to look at it. But when we look at it, we're going to have to make sure it's right and equitable for everybody in the city, not just a business class or, you know, a moderate class or a low to moderate income class. We're going to have to make sure that it's equitable for everybody.
Tell me this, and the other big one, there seems to be a bad trend, if you will, not necessarily a good trend with regards to crime. And just statistic-wise, how do we tackle that? What do you think? You know, whenever I talk to a lot of people this go around, it seems to be this, that we need to foster better relationships between the public and the police. That this is kind of a weird time with the police, and that if we could get there, that maybe we tamp down on some of this crime. But is it as simple as that, or do we need more? Do we need to hire more law enforcement, or do they need more resources? What do you think would be a solution there?
Well, we simply have to reach out and help people. You know, the additional police officers and neighborhood policing, that helps too. But there are so many people out there that are privately hurting, you know, some people that aren't working. During the COVID experience, there were some people that were not receiving stimulus checks because they either didn't do their taxes right or didn't do something right. So right. They're struggling. And when you have people that have kids that can't eat or they can't do what they want to do, then they go out and maybe have a small crime where they get caught picking something up and putting it in their pocket because they're hungry. Then they get confronted by a store owner. You know, then they fight back. Now we got an issue where the police are called, and now we have a major incident. It escalates. So sometimes just knowing what our neighbors need and looking at out after our neighbors helps. You know, but gun crimes right now are really high, the highest we've seen them since 1995. I think we're on track to reach maybe 50 or 51, which is high. You know, gun crimes are probably the highest form of incidents from kids from 18 to 25 right now in the state and also across the country. We're going to have to do something that detects, helps, sounds, or do whatever we have to do to get the guns off the street. But, you know, gun detection is good. Listening to it is good. But here's the thing. By the time we see it or hear a shot, there's normally somebody laying on the ground hurt. So we simply need to find a way to get the guns off the street that are in the hands of the wrong people.
So it's just if we can improve quality of life, then maybe that crime starts to go in the other direction because you don't have the motivations per se.
That's right. I mean, services to the least of us helps to increase the quality of life for everyone. And once we do that, then we tend to lower the crime rate. You know, instead of having neighborhoods where every house in that neighborhood is $300,000 to $500,000, maybe we should go back to the old way where we mix in affordable housing, market rate housing, and high-end housing all in the same neighborhoods. And we have true neighborhoods that have the kids walking among the leaders and everyone else. And now we're each other's brother's keeper. So we're looking out after each other, taking care of each other, as opposed to a certain economic base living in one neighborhood and another in another. You know, I think that's the way to go. We should all live together so that we can all look after each other. Whatever happened to neighborhoods where you could walk next door and borrow an egg or get a cup of sugar? You know, seems that those times seem to be gone here.
We're joined by Mobile City Council District 2 candidate William Carroll here in studio. District 2, one of the older districts in the city with the infrastructure that is, getting that back, there does seem to be some places, and not just building roads or bridges, but, you know, sewer, drainage, things like that, that there are a lot of areas to address in that district. How do you do that? How do you make the case to say, hey, we need to invest more into this area right now, and then maybe on the backside, there'll be a dividend and it'll pay off.
Well, I mean, everyone knows that District 2 has downtown, which is some of the oldest infrastructure there is in the city. I mean, some of our drainage structures date back 60, 70 years, some maybe even longer than that, 100 years. But when people come to our city, you know, they don't go to West Mobile. They want to come downtown.
Right.
So when they see downtown, it's our flagship area, and we should improve our flagship area in our flagship neighborhoods. I see the tour bus for historic preservation coming through my neighborhood all the time. I would hate to see it coming through our neighborhood when there's a light rain or a hard rain, and they've got to go down Lake Selma Street or River Selma Street. So we need to address those things. I would hate to have them go down the Grand Canyon on Texas Street, you know, and those are things that we're addressing. We need to address those things. Baltimore Street is the same way, which, you know, I commend Councilman Smalls and also Masseria Luggett for coming together and getting a joint project to where those can be corrected. But once we start in a certain place and give what I call block equity to a community and start fixing the infrastructure and flooding and all those things, it makes it better for everyone, because when people come to Mobile and they see our downtown, if they see nowhere else, they're going to be like, this is a place that we need to live and we want to invest our dollars.
And then I'll finally wrap it up on this. Your opponent is deceased, and it's a runoff. There's a movement out there to get people to vote for him. Do you make anything of that, or are you just at this stage just trying to run the best race like you are otherwise normally?
Well, we're running our race. You know, it's unfortunate that a group of men or pack would try to influence voters for whatever special needs that they want. You know, I think that whenever someone interjects $100,000 or around $100,000 to influence voters, they want something. So I don't know what it is they want, but I mean, you know, those types of actions, you know, I think just are unfounded, and we're going to run our race, do our thing, and continue to do what we do and support the people and, you know, talk to everyone and be positive and just get to the end of this. You know, it's time that we complete the process in the city of Mobile and vote William Carroll in District 2 so we can start the healing process. I mean, a lot of this is kind of segmenting our community, and I hate to say it, even in some parts of the district are fostering a feeling that, you know, people just don't want to have.
So you feel pretty good about where you sit today, though, going ahead and into tomorrow?
Oh, man, I'm an athlete. You know that. I'm a football player. I'm ready. You know, my feet are on the grass. You know, the only thing I don't have on is my helmet. You know what I mean? And, you know, we've taken this race out to the streets now. You know, we're letting the people do what they do. It's in the hands of God and in the hands of the people that are voting. And we're just praying that everybody comes out and does the right thing, you know, do the right thing. I'm asking people to come out, vote for William Carroll.
And folks want to find out more about your campaign. You have a Facebook page or something they can visit?
Oh, yeah. Please vote for Carroll for Mobile on Facebook. You can look my personal page up also. It's William Carroll. It's an open page. Be glad to have you stop by it. Take a look what we have out there. Shoot me a text. You can act and look. And I do this all the time. My personal number is 251-404-4107. 251-404-4107. Shoot me a text or give me a call. I'll get back to you as quickly as I can. Right now is an extremely busy time, but I will make sure I return your telephone accordingly.
William, you've been very kind to come in studio this morning. I know you're very, very busy, but we appreciate having you. And let's talk again soon.
Sounds great, man. I got to get back out here on this construction site and do what we do. You know, do what we do.
I hear you, man.
Take care.
Thanks. This is it. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5.